Welcome to the KMUD Weekend News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. On this episode, we have in-depth coverage on a local nonprofit assisting families with childcare. And later, Ray Hamill with this week's sports report. But first, a quick rundown of some local headlines. This is KMUD News. Starting off in Southern Humboldt, a Measure O-funded project began Thursday on Redway Drive and Redwood Drive. Contractors are scheduled to work in the Redway and Garberville areas through Wednesday, June 3rd, on weekdays only, from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Here's the remaining upcoming work. On Monday, June 1st, you'll see roadworks on Church Street and Redwood Drive in the westbound lane. On Tuesday, June 2nd, you'll see roadworks on Redway Drive, Redwood Drive in the eastbound lane, Bear Canyon Road, and Melville Road. And finally, on Wednesday, June 3rd, roadworks will be on Church Street, Redwood Drive in the westbound lane, and Redway Drive. Please plan accordingly, follow all traffic control signals, and drive safely through and near work areas. This morning, May 28th, the Avenue of the Giants was temporarily closed in the Pepperwood area. A large redwood tree fell across the avenue around 4:50 a.m. Caltrans shared photos of workers attacking the fallen tree with large chainsaws and equipment, but removing the trunk from the highway took several hours. By 9:45 a.m., the road had been confirmed as being reopened by Caltrans. From the office of State Senator Mark McGuire, yesterday, Senator McGuire's critical fisheries legislation, SB 1393, passed out of the Senate with bipartisan support. SB 1393 advances three key reforms. The legislation will strengthen the steelhead trout fishing restoration program and invest more funding into critical fishery habitat restoration projects. It will also modernize Dungeness crab fishery management regulations and establish clear rules for vessel transit through closed crab fishing areas, which will allow for vessel transit even if an area of the coast is closed. SB 1393 now heads to the State Assembly for a vote. Also in state news, beginning Monday, June 1st, the state will implement changes to the CalFresh time limit for adults ages 18 to 65 who do not have young children in the home. You must be excused from these rules or meet a work or community engagement requirement to keep CalFresh benefits for more than 3 months in a 36-month period. People who have to meet the work or community engagement requirement must participate in a qualifying activity for up to 20 hours per week, or 80 hours averaged monthly. In Humboldt County, the Humboldt Bay Area Plan is undergoing an update to reflect the significant changes Humboldt County has experienced over the last 44 years. On Monday, June 1st, the most recent draft of the updated plan will be released to give the community opportunity to provide input. The Humboldt Bay Area Plan is a plan that is certified by the California Coastal Commission that establishes policies on how the unincorporated area around Humboldt Bay and its coastline can be used. It is in the process of being comprehensively updated to address issues including sea level rise, tsunami awareness, and land use requirements. The most recent draft of the plan will be available for public review on Monday, June 1st on the county's website at humboldtgov.org/Humboldt Bay Area Plan Update. The Humboldt County Planning and Building Department will hold a virtual community meeting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 16th to go over the Humboldt Bay Area Plan public draft with the community. Attendees will have the opportunity to learn more about the proposed updates, ask questions, and make public comments. Additionally, a public workshop on the Humboldt Bay Area Plan public draft will take place at the Humboldt County Planning Commission's meeting on Thursday, July 16th. The Planning Commission's meeting will begin at 6 p.m. In Mendocino, Mendocino County Department of Social Services is closely monitoring recent federal announcements that may impact healthcare and social service programs across California, including funding connected to the In-Home Supportive Services Program. Recent federal actions include the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services decision to delay more than $1 billion in Medicaid reimbursements to California as part of broader anti-fraud initiatives. Federal officials also announced a temporary 6-month pause on new Medicare enrollment for hospices and home health agencies. At this time, in-home supportive services in Mendocino County will continue without interruption. In-home supportive services provide critical in-home care services that allow older adults and individuals with disabilities to remain safely in their homes and communities. Currently, the program serves over 2,500 Mendocino County residents and supports over 2,400 approved care providers countywide. While the full impact of these federal actions is still being evaluated at the state and county levels, Mendocino County Department of Social Services leadership is actively monitoring developments and maintaining communication with state partners to understand any potential effects on local services. The department will continue providing updates as additional information becomes available and remains focused on ensuring continuity of care and support for Mendocino County residents. In regional news, the Humboldt del Norte Film Commission was recognized today, May 29th, as a California Nonprofit of the Year by Assemblymember Chris Rogers during a luncheon at the state capitol in Sacramento. The organization was honored for its work stimulating the economy by supporting film production, tourism, arts education, workforce development, and cultural programming throughout California's Redwood Coast region. The award program is sponsored by Cal Nonprofits in partnership with the State Senate and Assembly Select Committees on the nonprofit sector. In Del Norte County, the Redwood Coast Transit Authority is facing severe budget issues, in part due to high fuel costs, and will likely not be able to expand their service as usual this summer. The current proposed plan is to keep the Transit Authority's winter schedule through the summer instead of expanding service for the summer season, as is typically the case. This includes reduced bus service between Eureka and Crescent City. Here's more information from yesterday's Redwood Coast Transit Authority meeting from Executive Director Joseph Rye.
Yes, so as we talked about when this kind of the depth of the problem became clear when we were going through starting to go through this budget at the workshop back in March, we talked about one of the ways we could save money is the last couple of years, maybe three, we have been augmenting our service in the summer because the demands are highest in general, weather's the best, we have the most tourists in town and everything. So we were adding a third daily trip to Eureka, so the south segment of Route 20, that takes about 6 hours per trip as far as, you know, cost. We added a midday trip of that in the summer the last couple of years, and it was well received. And we added a midday trip of Route 199, which runs between here in town and Gaski. And that one doesn't do as well. But they both make the system easier to use because then folks can do a half-day trip instead of a whole day. Because our normal schedule on Route 20, for example, in the morning, there's a morning trip going down to Eureka, and then it comes back in the late morning, and then there's an afternoon trip that goes down and comes back in the late afternoon. So you basically have to spend the day down there. Whereas when we're able to add the third trip each day, you're able to do half day trips, which, you know, works better for some folks. So that would be deferred. It's so the whole concept of the winter schedule saves about at least $100,000 a year because October through Memorial Day weekend, we run the lower level of service. So that's pretty significant. Then the summer bumps it up, and by not doing the enhancement this summer, which is what we're recommending, it'll save us about. Sorry about the shading here. I thought I had this covered. That's pretty close. Typo. But so we'll save about $70,000 by not enhancing the summer service this year. So we're basically requesting that to be approved, and then we will study further. We're not set. I might be able to come up with some informational stuff that we can talk about at our June meeting, and then by our August, we'll need to decide what we're going to do in the fall if we want to do a little bit further cuts to the service. And hopefully by then, you know, things may have changed as far as fuel prices or something else might come along, but we certainly don't want to just bury our head in the sand and not prepare. So staff's recommending that we just continue our winter service level. That also saves us on brochures, because we normally do a new brochure run this time of the year for the summer. So it's just a few thousand bucks, but that also saves on that. So we'll just continue to run our service as advertised from last fall's brochure through the end of September.
Besides being an essential connection between Humboldt and Del Norte counties, the Redwood Coast Transit Authority route is part of the North State Express, a bus route that extends all the way to Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. In Fortuna, this week's Fortuna Planning Commission meeting was an illuminating look at necessary and expensive infrastructure updates despite the city's current budget situation. Here's Fortuna Public Works Director Brian Issa on some of the major upgrades needed for the city's water and sewer systems.
Look at the funding picture there. Is that the vast majority of the spending in the next couple of years is going to be on what we call the MPDS project. That's the wastewater treatment plant upgrade projects to come into permit compliance with our discharge permit. That is currently somewhere on the realm of $45 to $50 million. So that's where most of the money is being spent. And as usual, most of the money is in the utilities. So just going kind of division by division here, water system improvements, these are the major projects that we're looking at. It would be the water meter project, which is basically moving from walking around and reading water meters physically or with a radio to the water meters talking directly to a tower and you accessing that directly through a website. So you can get alerts on your water billing and your water usage in real time, similar to what you do with other utilities. Well 5B is a new well at our well field. We're trying to bring that online. The water system master plan is a long-range document that models the water system hydraulically and says where we need new tanks, upsized water pipes, et cetera, et cetera. That one's currently out for bid. Valve replacement is something that we want to do every year. We have a lot of valves in the city. We have quite a few valves that are not good. We've replaced a lot in the last couple of years, and we want to keep working through those valves. You want to have a valve exercise program where you turn every valve every year, because what you don't want is to have an emergency and go for a shutdown and it breaks during the shutdown and then you can't get a shutdown. We'd rather have them break under controlled circumstances and just work through replacement as part of the CIP. Water main replacement, similarly, it's better to replace them than to wait till they explode. Most of the ones we replace have already exploded multiple times. And the total for fiscal year 26-27 is just over $3.5 million.
Fortuna is also currently seeking grant funding for a variety of additional projects, including the Mill Creek Fish Passage Project. And now, to our main stories. This is KMUD News. A major Humboldt County family support organization's child care assistance is at a high. Daniel Mintz reports.
The executive director of Humboldt County's largest nonprofit family services organization says the number of families getting help with child care and other services is at a peak. Carrie Venegas, executive director of Changing Tides Family Services, summarized a range of assistance programs and the state of local child care in a May 27th online presentation to the Community Economic Resilience Consortium. Changing Tides operates a wide range of child care and social services programs, including referral and parenting support programs. Affordability is key to accessing child care, and Venegas reported that in fiscal year 2024 to 2025, there was over $11 million in child care subsidy payments. Changing Tides assisted more than 1,000 families and more than 500 child care providers. That's a significant increase. Venegas said it's higher than ever, but there could be future issues to watch out for.
The number of families being served is higher than it's ever been. And you heard me explain that we went from less than 500 a year to more than 1,000. So this has been really good. And we have room to continually enroll and pace the enrollment for summer care as well. There are more than 506 providers in Humboldt County, 264 of them, give or take, this is a point in time number that I'm showing you, are licensed family child care homes, licensed centered and licensed exempt centers. That includes after school programs, is licensed exempt boys and girls clubs. They can be compensated. They don't have to necessarily be licensed. They fall under other jurisdictional oversight. And then, of course, the licensed centers and the licensed family child care home. Child care has made a really excellent comeback, but it still is so regulated and rates are still so low that it's not making as good an impact as we would hope. We're almost to pre-COVID levels, but every day we have an aging workforce who are the childcare business owners who want to retire, and there's not a lot of people who are waiting in the wings.
Federal policies taking effect July 1st will impact childcare. A cap on family copayment fees is being eliminated, and childcare businesses will be impacted by elimination of enrollment-based payments. On the state level, Venegas said the recently revised version of the state budget includes higher than expected revenue projections and less deficit. She said Governor Gavin Newsom's goal is to support services as much as possible, but federal actions could have impacts.
So the overarching intent of his May revised proposal when it comes to relating to childcare and core safety net programs, which support a lot of our workforce and a lot of our citizens in Humboldt County, is that the goal is to protect as much as possible Medi-Cal, in-home supportive services for high-need caregiving, food aid and core safety net programs, while avoiding as much as possible any broad budget cuts. So it's kind of an equalize the pain so that everybody may just take a minor cut and then try to balance out what the concerns may be coming down from the feds and to balance the deficit. There's also an intent stated to build a larger rainy day reserve because we honestly don't know as a state exactly what will come down from the federal government. Will there be FEMA? Will there be food support? Will there be Medi-Cal anymore? It's really hard to predict.
Venegas said there are no significant cuts to childcare in the state budget, but efforts to support childcare through an era of federal cuts won't be enough to make up for them. Greg Foster, the executive director of the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the meeting's host, asked about the degree to which Humboldt's demand for childcare is being met. Venegas said the age of children and location of services affect the supply-demand issue.
You have to break it down into age groups. And when we're really talking about the gap in care, we're really talking about the youngest ages. So we're talking about infants and toddlers, which are much harder to serve. And for a business, a childcare business, the break-even threshold, because the ratios are smaller and the reimbursement doesn't offset the fact that you have to take fewer children in your business, especially as a small business. So a lot of parents report not being able to find the care that they need where they need it. Well, at the same time, we actually have unfilled spaces in the community.
Foster closed the online meeting by highlighting the relationship between things like childcare services and housing to the economy, saying they, quote, are the foundations upon which the economy is built and survives. For KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Here's details of all of this week's big local sports stories with Ray Hamill and the KMUD News Sports Report.
Summer baseball is upon us as we get set for a busy weekend on the local fields, with the Humboldt Crabs kicking off the 2026 season at the Arcata Ballpark on Friday night, and several Ute Baseball Tournament of Champions games scheduled for Saturday and Sunday. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the Crabs and all the early summer baseball action in just a moment, as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including how the HDNL teams fared in this week's North Coast Section baseball and softball playoffs, who was included on the second annual HDNL All-Sportsmanship team, some college baseball and basketball news, why this weekend is a big one for a pair of local high school track and field athletes, why last weekend was a big one for local motorsports fans, and how a pair of local bare-knuckle fighters fared at BKFC 89. But first up, the Humboldt Crabs are back in town and preparing for a summer of fun and excitement at the Arcata Ballpark. The players began arriving in the county earlier this week and held their first practice of the season on Wednesday. The new season gets underway with a three-game weekend series against the Novato Knicks, with Game 1 set for Friday night at 7. This year, the Crabs feature a new manager, with former player and longtime assistant coach Jeff Giacomini taking over from Robin Guyver, who stepped down at the end of the 2025 season. Giacomini has added a couple of familiar coaches to his staff, including St. Bernard's head coach Matt Tomlin and Eureka High head coach Tommy Gale. This year's team also features six local players, a group that includes Daniel Osborne and Cody Collins from Fortuna High, Aiden Dorsch from St. Bernard's, Jackson Kelly from McKinleyville, and Arcata's Ben Lukens and Miles Oliver. The Crabs and Knicks will also play on Saturday night at 6:30, before concluding the weekend series on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. The Crabs will also play their annual early season game against the Humboldt Eagles 19U team on Wednesday night. This year's Eagles team also welcomes a new head coach to the dugout, with former McKinleyville High and Humboldt B-52's coach Scott St. John taking over. This weekend also sees the start of a busy month in local Ute baseball, with the District Senior and Junior Tournament of Champions getting underway. The Senior TOC features eight teams playing four games at various locations around the county on Saturday, followed by semifinals on Sunday. The Junior TOC features four teams and also begins on Saturday. Both championship games will take place at the Arcata Ballpark on Monday evening. Switching gears, the final two remaining HDNL teams in the North Coast Section baseball and softball playoffs lost this week to end the local season. Last Friday night, all three local softball teams in action lost their section quarterfinals. McKinleyville fell 7-1 to Petaluma, Fortuna lost 20-9 to Freedom, and Del Norte fell to Annalee 5-1. The disappointment for the HDNL teams continued on Saturday when the South Fork girls fell to Moreau Catholic by a score of 9-2. The Eureka girls were also in action last weekend and dominated San Domenico on the way to a 13-1 win in five innings to extend their season. The Loggers, however, lost their Division 5 semifinal on Tuesday, falling 10-4 to Moreau Catholic. In NCS baseball, on Saturday, Big 5 champion McKinleyville suffered a disappointing loss in the Division 2 quarterfinals. The top-seeded Panthers welcomed Bishop O'Dowd to McKinleyville High and led 3-1 going into the seventh inning. However, the visitors would score six late runs to win 7-3 and end a memorable season for the Panthers, who added a third straight Charles Lakin Tournament Championship to their Big 5 title. Also on Saturday, the St. Bernard's boys rallied from a couple of early deficits to beat Pinal Valley 5-3 in the Division 4 tournament. However, the Crusaders would lose their section semi-final on Wednesday, falling 8-0 to Newark Memorial. A young Crusaders team closed out the season 22-5, including a perfect 12-0 run in the Little Four Conference. This week also saw the announcement of the second annual HDNL All-Sportsmanship team, which features one student athlete from all 10 league schools. This year's team included Arcata's Izzy Allen, Del Norte's Bliss Blackburn, Eureka's Elizabeth Rominger, Ferndale's Michaela Ellsmore, Fortuna's Cavi Bolden, Hoopa's Alyssa Ashley, McKinleyville's Natess Marquez, North Coast Prep's Richie Alvarez, South Fork's Molly Perkins, and St. Bernard's CJ Figas. In local college baseball, this week College of the Redwoods announced the addition of two Eureka seniors who committed their future to the local community college program. Loggers team captains Jesse Vasquez and Garrett Levitt both signed their letters of intent at CR on Monday, giving Redwoods a boost after a disappointing spring. The CR men's basketball team has also added a couple of local players. On Thursday afternoon, St. Bernard's senior Carson Costa signed his letter of intent to join a CR program that has been consistently competitive in the Golden Valley Conference for much of the past decade. Costa joins McKinleyville senior Neil Moon, who also recently committed his future to the local JC. In local high school track and field, meanwhile, two HDNL athletes have qualified for this year's state championships. Arcadis' Skylar Collenberg had a big weekend at the NCS Meet of Champions and placed first in both the shot put and discus to advance to the state meet in both events. Also qualifying was Del Norte's Sebastian Espinoza, who placed second to Collenberg in the Meet of Champions shot put. Switching gears, last weekend was a big one for motorsports fans here on the North Coast. Redwood Acres Raceway hosted its season opener on Saturday night with a full slate of racing action. Defending track late models champion Brandon Barnwell got the 2026 season off to an impressive start and took the checkered flag in the main event. And rounding out a busy week in local sports, a pair of Humboldt County bare knuckle fighters fought on the same bare knuckle fighting championship card for the first time ever. And both of them enjoyed big nights. Hydesville's Ryan Peterson won by unanimous decision, while Fortuna's Ricardo Talavera won by knockout just 1 minute and 16 seconds into his first professional fight. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Biana Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporters for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz and Ray Hamill. KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org and now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmod.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Sinkione, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.